Welcome to Caritos. This is Wendy.
And this is Kate.
Today's cast, digital networking, best practices for building online professional relationships.
The questions this cast answers are, how do I make my online professional profile stand out? What's the difference between collecting connections and building real relationships online? And how can I maintain professional relationships in the digital world?
If you want the answers to these questions and more, keep listening.
There's a lot of great reasons to use manager tools for your corporate training. You can realize the synergies of everyone learning the same guidance at the same time. You get to pick the date and time so your folks don't have to travel. And you're afforded an MT logistics coordinator who provides almost all of the administration. Probably the best reason, though, is it's your investment. And with our core trainings, the effective manager, communicator, or hiring manager, you can afford close to a 50% discount per person if you have a group of up to 30 attendees. We offer our training on-site or virtually. Learn more, contact Maggie at customerservice@manager-tools.com.
So there were, in our lifetimes, okay, many, it feels like, digital worlds that were going to change our lives. Second Life was going to be a thing, and then Metaverse was going to be a thing, and none of them were yet, we'll see. But there was a digital transformation and a digital universe where our digital bodies, our career bodies did come to live. There is a digital world now that never existed when I was coming to work. And that gives us a really good new opportunity of expanding our network of professional contacts, potentially in ways that we hadn't before. And when I started writing this cast, it was a slightly different take. But as I wrote it, I realized what it really is just an update to the cast that we wrote in 2006, which was how to build a network. It's just how to build a network in a digital world, or combine your digital and real world worlds. But it's really just how to build a network in a digital world.
It's interesting, too, that your network has these components now where there's the in-person part and there's the digital part. I actually went in this morning, ironically, because it's in the first week of the month, every month for me, where I do my network building stuff. And I went in this morning to do some reach outs. I was always open on my email first. And then I realized the people who I was supposed to reach out to right now, all of them, I had to text them, except one person who is a big LinkedIn user. So then I went on LinkedIn. And so just this change in the, I want to say format, but that's not the right word. The change in the platform where you're reaching out to people.
The place where you meet people is different.
Right. And the place where you contact them might be different if you're currently, you know, using these different things, which some, like you said, some are not useful and some kind of are. So today we're going to talk about working on your online presence, making personal connections, engaging, not just connecting, and maintaining and strengthening your network.
So begin with work on your online presence, because your digital first impression matters just as much as your in-person first impression. It's the same thing as walking into a real room. Like, if somebody sees your digital profile first, that's their first impression of you. And the thing about first impressions never leaving people has not changed, because people are still people. So if you want to make the most of the opportunity of this digital universe, then you have to make sure that your first step, your first impression is a good one.
Mm-hmm. You want to use private browsing so your search history doesn't influence the results, and then search for your name and find out what comes up, what's out there, what is online about you. You might be surprised. I Google myself, once every 6 months, I think that's when it's on my calendar. And a couple of years ago, I had to ask somebody to change the screen grab on a YouTube video because it was totally professional. And just that particular screen grab, like, my mouth was open. It was this terrible angle. There was this glare from the building. It was intense. So just something to keep in mind. Go find out what's there. And again, there's some work you can do, like asking someone to change the screen grab to affect whether or not there are positive or negative pages or images in the results. And that's a long-term project. So good news, the YouTube video I was in, was a friend had posted it for like a project we were working on together. So that was easy. But for now, short-term stuff. When you look up your name, is it your LinkedIn page that comes up? Is it a personal website? Is there a profile on something like GitHub? Maybe your company website profile or another organization that comes up first. Find out, because whatever it is, that's the first impression others are getting of you in the digital space, which might be great, might be exactly what you want. Also might be surprising to you.
And you have to be a little bit careful with other people's names as well. Apparently there's a Dr. Wendy Lord who's written a very intellectual book about careers, which looks really good for me, but it's not me.
Ooh, wow. There's a very good basketball player named Kate Braun in like Nebraska or something. And so my Google alert is always like, oh, you were on the web. No, I did play basketball on the C team in middle school. So no, not me.
Yeah. So you do have to be careful, like, what other things are coming up. And trying to make it clear that which one person is you, which we'll come to in a second with we come to photos. But when it comes to professional connections, if people Google your name, they're probably also going to look at LinkedIn, at least in 2025. And I can't see LinkedIn going away in the next. Nobody has usurped it in the last 15 years. So, and then potentially another site if it's professionally relevant. So again, for example, if you're a software developer, they might look at your GitHub profile. If you're a designer, they look at your Behance or your portfolio website. Some other websites are relevant depending on your role. And most of us think of all of this kind of activity of checking what people see as part of a job search. But these professional profiles are the first stage in making professional connections that you can use to advance your career, not just when you're changing jobs. So a professional connection where someone can help you with a project that you're stuck on, or someone can give you advice about an industry, or someone can just talk through a project with you who's not working at your company and is not in your team and you just need someone else's point of view, those kind of connections, as well as all the other things we use professional connections for. We need these profiles to be up to date and accurate and representing ourselves well for those kind of connections as well.
Right. So the first step is to make sure that your profiles are professional and up to date. Delete any that don't represent your current professional goals. On most platforms, there's at least a space for a photo, some kind of headline, and then a paragraph for you to describe yourself. Additionally, you can add things like why you're on that platform and either what you're looking for or what you have to offer. So look at it, right? Make some edits. If you do have the public profile on multiple platforms, let's make them consistent, right? It doesn't have to be the exact same information for each one. Each has a different purpose, but it needs to be clear that you're the same person. That's part of when you look up somebody's name and then you're not sure which one it is, mm-hmm. right? So we got to make sure that we can see consistency and understand, oh, all of these profiles are this one person. And maybe that's through a photo. Maybe it's through, you know, your work location, that kind of thing. This information is often used by Google when it brings up those images to help searchers identify Wendy Lord or Kate Braun or John Smith. So you want something that looks like you to the people who know you so they can easily identify you. Or you want something that gives a professional impression to people who don't know you in person. I, for example, have on my LinkedIn, I think the thing that probably people recognize about me most is just being blonde. And I only say that because I had darker hair for about 6 months once and was not recognized in person by people I knew. Actually walked up to people and they didn't know it was me. Slightly terrifying. So in all my photos, I make sure that that's really obvious. And then also I try to do something with I have a microphone. I think I'm holding a microphone on one of them such that it's obvious that I'm presenting or that there's some association with the podcast or something like that, just because I see that as what people are looking for. Like this, oh, this is Kate from Manager Tools, that kind of thing. I used to have a photo of me in a blue and orange dress on purpose. Unfortunately, that photo is old enough now that it would be out of date.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In terms of looks.
Yeah.
Right? Like, so, but I used to try to use our colors too. I don't anymore.
No, that's hard. Our colors are not flattering to people.
Yeah, I had one dress that worked and that was 10 years ago. And you're not supposed to post photos or keep up photos that are that old. Just as a note.
No, again, people need to be able to recognize you. And if recognizing you is from a photo that's 10 years old and you don't look like that anymore, they don't recognize you.
Yeah, as much as I'd like to.
Yeah. And the other thing is, I remember a long time ago when I didn't have a picture on my LinkedIn profile and I put one up and Mark said to me, oh, I thought you were going to put something clever up, like, you know, a shot of your ear or something, because I'm not a big photo person. I don't let him. And I didn't. But you can't do that anymore. Like, that might have been an option then, but video and image-based content means that you just can't hide it anymore. And an actual photo of your face is necessary.
Yeah, as much as we don't love it, right? I also want to say out loud, when you're choosing a photo, y'all, it has to be pretty much your face.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be your face in there. And it's almost pretty, well, it's almost difficult to find a photo. Unless you have a professional photo, which is great. A photo where your face is big enough,
mm-hmm.
right? I have a photo like on something. I think it's my Google account, which nobody can search for, right? It's my profile picture. And I'm hiking. It's not something people could use to recognize me at all. It's actually really weird. I can see it on this other screen. I should take it down. In any case, photo, got to be recognizable. Professional photos are great for this because you can see your face and something that people can use to identify you as well. Often because these websites ask for a headline, good idea to use a headline that's broad enough to describe your career and not just your current job title, position, or role. The profiles and your resume are really different entities, and there's really no reason to restrict yourself to what the company calls you when it comes to your headline. This is kind of your bio. And also, because titles and roles and things change a lot, honestly, you don't really want to be having to change it every single time something changes. Software engineer IT, for example, doesn't give as much information or compulsion to connect with you. Whereas something like full stack developer specializing in AI applications, building user-centric solutions can tell the reader both what you do and your focus when you're doing it. And technically, also is pretty searchable.
Yeah. You want something that's more than just your job title.
Mm-hmm.
You have long enough to put something that gives more information. So why not give more information and make that headline attractive, since that's what we're trying to do, connect with people. And then in whatever description space there is, you can tell people what you want to do and how you can help or what you're interested in connecting about. And like I just said, the point of your profile is to make professional connections. And so to some extent, you want to make it attractive enough for people to want to connect with you. You want to give them something, some hook that's like, oh, that's interesting. That's the thing I want to talk to that person about. Because if you think about it in an in-person, if I went to a meeting, because I go to lots of Toastmasters meetings. So if I went to a Toastmasters meeting and there are 100 Toastmasters in the room, I find the person I want to talk to by asking people questions until I find that hook of like, oh, you're doing this. I'm doing this. I want to talk about this. In a digital mm-hmm. space, I have to read their headlines or read the information they've put until I find that hook of like, you're doing this. I'm doing this. We want to talk. So that's where to put that. And that's how to think about that paragraph. You're looking for the things that you're interested in talking to other people about in a way and describing them in a way that makes them understand that you want to talk about those things.
It's also valuable to include this information for people you meet in person who might be searching for you later.
Yes.
It can be really hard to remember somebody's name. Well, it can be easier than to remember the content of your conversation. And so if they remember, oh, this person's a software person, they're in AI or whatever, or they're on a podcast or things like that, then your headline can help them be sure that it's you. Like, you meet them on a plane, you meet them, I met somebody accidentally at the grocery store here in Austin, which that sounds weird, except that everybody in Austin is doing something cool. So it's not that weird, I promise. And when I went to search for them, it wasn't their last name that I could remember. It was their first name and what they did. And I was able to find them, thankfully, because I was able to search and their headline stuff had that information in it. So it also makes you a little bit more easily connected with from interactions you have in person.
Yeah.
And since we are hoping to make personal connections, those might be ones that are valuable. Real relationships, although to be fair, this person I met at the grocery store, we are not true friends yet. So there's that. But real relationships happen between two individuals, not two avatars, or when one person is just broadcasting and the other person's, you know, not engaged with those thoughts. There has to be two-way personal communication in order for a relationship to happen. Networks, professional relationships, they're sources of mutual benefit. We used to think of networking as something that was slightly slimy. And when we connected with somebody, that it only opened us up to be sold to later, or vice versa, it only brought you closer to the people you wanted to sell to, right? Over the last 20 years, though, professional networks have become more accepted as being of mutual benefit. And in order for them to be helpful to us and for us to be helpful to other people, those connections, those networks have to be pretty real. Is it inappropriate to say authentic?
I think this is the perfect place for authentic.
Okay, good. Because then sometimes I feel slimy about the word authentic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. But this is it, right? It has to be an authentic, real relationship. Otherwise, it's not happening.
Yeah, it doesn't help. I was watching a show last night where a girl was saying that she loves Epcot, and she said, I love inauthentic. She was suggesting that what they were doing, like somebody said they were going to an authentic cabin weekend, and the people who were doing it were being not authentic. And she was saying that what she wanted to do was take her niece to Epcot because
it's not real.
Right. And she was like, I love inauthentic. So, you know, it's kind of changed that word, I think, a little bit, just connotatively, but the denotation still stands.
Yes.
We're looking for authentic personal connections, which is a two-way street.
For example, that means when you're sending a connection request, you personalize your message. You don't just send the generic one that the platform gives you, which sends a message that, you know, a subtext that says, I want to connect with you, but only make the minimum effort. That is the kind of message that does suggest you only want a relationship in order to sell to your new contact or to get something from your new contact. So instead of that, mention something specific about how you met or you found them or a shared interest, or explain why you'd want to connect with them. So for example, I enjoyed your presentation at the conference last week. Your insights on sustainable development really resonated with the work I'm doing at Eco Solutions. I'd appreciate connecting to continue the conversation. So it's a we met. I know you, you know me, we're interested in the same thing. Like, it's a much richer message than the standard one that the system sends.
Right. Which is a part of the idea that we're going into next, which is engage, don't just connect. Don't just add people. If what you're looking for is a network, interact with them instead of just adding them on LinkedIn. Maybe you can link with people and or accept their connection requests, and you could just leave it there. This is like in the olden days when you go to a professional conference, collect the business cards, and then just leave them on your desk, never bothering the person again. And it's about as useful as a stack of business cards you ignore in terms of building a network. Instead, we want to start these conversations, right? We previously covered this almost 20 years ago, 19 years ago, in our Building a Network cast. We said that rule number two is give, give, give. We suggested you'd be most successful in your network if you offer to help someone else in any way you can and learn more about them every time you talk to make your giving to them more focused. We talked about being attentive to their needs and offering others in your network to help this person. So kind of connecting this person to someone else you know. There's really no difference between the 2006 guidance, which was mostly offline network building, and the 2025 online network building guidance. And in actual fact, giving provides you an additional benefit when it comes to online connections. It helps differentiate and helps your contact identify you as an individual amongst all of the hundreds of thousands of contacts they have. It turns you from a contact into a person. So we still recommend it.
Yeah, it's exactly the same. So a minimum interaction would be liking their posts, which at least shows you're still present on the platform and paying some attention. But if you really want to build a relationship, then you have to do more than that. So, for example, commenting or reposting their content when you find it valuable shows genuine interest in their ideas and begins to develop an actual connection.
Yeah. Specific comments, too, in terms of if you're going to do a comment, specific comments are better. They mean more than generic ones. Great post. Thanks for sharing, or interesting insights are so generic that they give the impression that it was maybe the platform's suggestion, not something you actually wrote. Instead, we recommend you take the time to say something like, I enjoyed your point about X at company Y, and I found that Z happened, that kind of thing. Something like
that. It's like, I read your stuff. I applied it to my life. I want you to, or I applied it to my experience, and I want to tell you how that went, or I want to continue the conversation by telling you my experience.
It kind of reminds me of the idea of when you send an email or leave a voicemail, you're trying to move the conversation forward. So instead of saying, oh, hey, that time won't work for me in an email response, you say, hey, that time won't work for me. What about these? And the difference is that the other person doesn't have to be pushing forward all the time. And this is kind of similar. It's like you are not just giving the thumbs up, which you can. The thumbs up, though, is kind of a stop for the conversation. That doesn't move things forward. When you make a specific comment, then there's something for them to engage with. And they might not, right? Not everybody is doing that. And if you've ever posted to one of these platforms, you'll have experienced the great silence after you post something where you think that they'll like it, or you think someone will be interested in it, and nothing happens. It kind of stinks. That's not a great experience for us, right? And especially if you're a person who doesn't post that often, when you do, it's probably something you thought that people would really like. It's a lot like deliver your presentation and then waiting for somebody to clap or like react or speak up or ask a question when you finish speaking. So if you're going to be someone who fills the silence and reacts in a thoughtful, positive way, it's likely to build relationships, because the great silence, the lack of interaction, is kind of a bummer for people. And we can instead, just simply by interacting with the post a little tiny bit, create a conversation, because then they know somebody's out there.
Yes, in the wilderness. If you're going to repost or draw attention to someone's post, like you can repost so that their post appears in your feed, or sometimes you can just link to their post in your feed. Those kind of things give you two benefits. First of all, you're giving positive feedback to the person who posted. So you're building on that relationship, but also you're contributing content or thoughts or ideas or whatever to your own network. So the other people who are already connected to you get the benefit of that idea as well. So you're doing two things at once. So that's an extra way to, it's like a bonus boost.
Right. And when you're reposting, add your perspective. You could say something like, I'm seeing the trends that are mentioned here in my sector too, especially regarding X, Y, and Z. I'll add that I feel that this is positive or negative, et cetera. Again, you get the affirmation of the original poster, you are showing your knowledge and expertise, and you're encouraging others to connect with you when they need your skills in the future. Double bonus.
And if you're setting yourself goals for doing this, for making connections and maintaining those connections, choose a small goal you can do often. Consistent commenting or posting rather than sporadic bursts is more valuable. 30 minutes a week is much more valuable than two hours in a month, because nobody remembers what they posted a month ago. Which is not to say that sometimes things don't come around again and somebody finds something from 3 months ago and it comes up and actually really does start a new conversation, but it's much more likely to be useful if you're commenting on more recent activity. And you stay connected with what's going on with people better, which means you can celebrate them and all those things as well if you do it more regularly.
Mm-hmm. I would recommend that people put some time in their calendar every week to go through their, for example, social medias or, you know, places where they can connect. Mine was this morning. It's on Thursday mornings that I do. I just go through our socials and forums and all that stuff. And it's easier. There's less to catch up on. It's a lot easier. Looking to take your career to the next level, whether you're just starting out or already a seasoned professional, the Career Tools license was built for you. Maybe you want to get promoted or change industries, build confidence in your professional skills. We've got you covered. For less than $15 a month, you'll get the tools, guidance, and resources you need to grow on your terms. Learn more at manager-tools.com/memberships. What we really want to do is maintain and strengthen your network. Again, in 2006, we said, really, when you think about it, if you're going to build and maintain a network, you've got to get people into the network and keep them there. Simple, right? The quantity as well as quality of interactions with someone is important for keeping people in your network.
And how do you stay in touch? It's really easy. All you have to do is make sure you have the contact information from the person and make a note to stay in touch, like literally. And on these, now the platforms exist, you don't even have to make sure you have their contact information. You just have to make sure you're connected and you found them again. And then pick a time period in between calls and emails and set yourself a reminder to call or email or connect on the platform.
Yeah. Especially this might be valuable to keep in mind, connecting on the platforms for people who are likely to or maybe change jobs, which is technically everyone. The thing that comes to mind for me recently is that someone that I know was laid off, and I discovered really quickly that I wasn't connected to them on LinkedIn. And because of where they worked, providing the email address that I had and the phone number that I had, I couldn't get in touch with them. And I really felt terrible that I couldn't reach out. I couldn't get a hold of them. If I had connected with them on LinkedIn, I would have been able to. And it's just a gentle reminder. Y'all, this guidance hasn't changed because while technology and the way we connect has changed, human beings haven't. We still value relationships based on the quantity and quality of communication that happens in them. And we still forget to stay in contact and we regret lost connections. So we do recommend that you still go ahead and engage this way. Do you always need to send articles, as some people recommend? No. Does it help? Sure. But let's not let not having anything to send stop you from calling or emailing, texting, reaching out. Do you need to get ready for the call and be prepared to add value? No, not necessarily. Sometimes people would like more to talk about things outside of work. Just get them into your contact system and start to develop a relationship with them, which means just start communicating.
And if you feel like you've neglected someone and you need some not weird ways to reconnect, the platforms are awesome because they provide reminders about anniversaries and birthdays and other date-based celebrations. And it literally tells you, hey, tell this person happy birthday or tell this person happy anniversary. So that's not weird. Celebrate wins. So congratulate them on achievements like job changes or product launches, promotions, whatever they've just posted in their feed that says, hey, I succeeded in doing this. Celebrate that. And introduce them to someone else. So helping your contacts make new contacts is a way of both giving and receiving.
All things that you can do that are pretty simple. And again, like a few minutes a week. Change seems to happen both more quickly and more slowly than we expect. Looking back 20 years to our 2006 podcast, we can see that there's just been major technical developments that have changed our lives. And yet somehow organizations and our careers are still substantially created by and supported by our human relationships. Even though the tools have changed, the reasons for and the ease of building connections have not. So go ahead, reach out to someone.
Is it like a reach out today? Yes.
Yeah.
Thanks, Kate.
Thanks, Wendy.
That's all for this week, folks. Join us again next week as we cover a new topic. And if you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to follow, rate, and review our podcast. It helps more people find us and keeps the conversation going. Have a good one.